a seed that will change the course of your life. You may be seated in his presence. A seed that changes the course of your life. Amen. In this text, it's actually a continuation of a story that began in 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. 2 Kings 4, it begins to deal with the Shuhamite woman. Somebody say Shuhamite woman. Come on, say Shuhamite woman. And if we look at the story concerning the Shuhamite woman, the story really shows us how a prophetic word can change the course of one's life. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, understand that there are some things that will never happen till a prophetic word is spoken over you.
That's right.
So knowing this and understanding that, it does matter whether something prophetically is spoken over your life. Amen?
Amen.
There are some things that are never set in motion until that word, that prophetic word, is spoken into your life. So this is the case with the Shuhamite woman, who's, the Bible said, who is in Shuham. Mm-hmm. And now that's interesting because Shuham is a border town that borders the town of Issachar. Now Issachar is a place where really, if you look at it geographically, it was a place where things was happening. It was a town where the happenings was. So this woman, she finds herself living in a border town and border in Issachar where things are happening. Amen?
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Have you ever felt like everything was happening, but where you were, nothing was happening? Amen? So this woman, she was living on the edge of a prophetic breakthrough. Somebody say a prophetic breakthrough. And many of you are here today, and you don't really realize it because you don't know that you're on the verge of a prophetic breakthrough because you don't understand the power of your seed.
Come on.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
My seed
has power.
Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor.
My seed
has potential. So Bible scholars, they begin to say that they believe that Elijah was probably on his way to Issachar because that was where all the prophets hung out at. And he just simply passed through Shuhamite to go to Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to live on the verge of a prophetic breakthrough. Now, understand that the Bible says that the woman, she was in Shuhamite. And Shuhamite means an uneven place. Somebody say uneven place. Come on, say uneven place. So she was living in an uneven place. Have you ever been in an uneven place, an uneven season, where on one hand you had great successes and on the other hand you had great battles all at the same time? Somebody say an uneven place. Come on, say an uneven place. Experiencing breakthrough in one area and setbacks in another area. Say an uneven place. And many of us find ourselves in an uneven place on the verge of a breakthrough. But can I tell you that something happens when this prophet begins to come by? But in order for you to begin to understand what God is getting ready to speak to you on this morning, you have to understand that you can't look at the person Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't the arrival of Elijah as so much as it was the arrival of that prophetic word. It wasn't so much the arrival of Elijah coming on the scene as it was that prophetic word that he had in his mouth. It wasn't so much as Elijah arriving on the scene as it was that prophetic anointing that he was carrying and bringing. See, anytime anything prophetic shows up is an indication that potential is there. Somebody shout out potential.
Potential.
Come on, say potential.
Potential.
And potential is simply untapped power. So whenever something prophetic shows up, you have to understand that potential is there. There's untapped power. Somebody say untapped power.
Untapped power.
See, you have to understand that the Bible said that there were many widows.
Yes, yes, yes.
many widows in that land, in the land of Zarephath. Mm-hmm. But it was only to one widow was Elijah sent. The Bible says that there were many leopards during the time of Naaman, but it was only to one leopard that he was sent. That lets me know that there were some people who had leprosy that died. Oh, my God. My God. My God. So the Bible says that it tells me and it shows me that you shouldn't take lightly when you're in an atmosphere where a prophetic word is going forth.
That's right.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can't take it lightly. Whenever there is a prophetic word that is going forth in the house, you must not take it lightly.
You,
understand? Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, it says, believe in the Lord thy God, so shall ye be established.
Mm-hmm.
Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So it makes a difference, I'm trying to get you to see, who speaks into your life. It makes a difference who you sit under. It makes a difference who you allow to come into your world. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, it makes a difference. So here is this woman, and she's living in an uneven place. She's on an edge of a prophetic breakthrough. And the Bible says now in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, that she says something profound. She says now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passeth by us continually. She said that I perceive. Now, I saw something in dealing with what she perceived. Because you have to understand that there's something that you cannot be taught. And that thing that you cannot be taught is perception. Because perception is your ability to discern and to perceive that God is moving around you. Understand what I'm saying? So she says now, and she makes this statement, she boldly confesses this. She says, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. She perceived, she knew in her knower that when Elijah would pass by, there was a move of God. That brought me to the conclusion. How many of you know when God is moving around you?
Come on, glory to God.
She said, I perceived that this is a holy man of God that passeth by us continually. Now, that's important because it's possible for you to know that something is of God and not be able to hold on to it.
Come on, man.
She said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Watch this. That passeth by us continually. That passeth by us continually. So it's possible for you to know that something is of God and not understand how to hold on to it. Oh, it's quiet in here. So I see the problem that this woman had. And the problem was simply this. She's saying that prophetic word, that prophetic anointing, my prophetic breakthrough, it comes my way every now and then. Pass it by continually. It comes by occasionally. And she says, when that prophetic anointing is there, we have a great time.
Come on.
But it keeps passing by continually. Somebody gonna get this. But it keeps passing by continually. And so what the woman was saying, that I got to find out or figure out a way to keep that is passing by continually, to cause it to stay right here. To stay right here. So the next time that the anointing shows up, it'll stay right here. I know what to do to cause it to stay right here. And I believe that God is talking to somebody in this place on this morning that's tired of experiencing breakthroughs every now and then.
Come on.
But they need to know how to cause that breakthrough anointing to stay right there. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, is that you? Come on, get that other neighbor and say, neighbor, is that you? breakthroughs just for a moment, only to go back into what you came out of. I mean, you on cloud nine when you're around the saints, and you on a spiritual high when you come out of prayer, and when you in the midst of the service. Oh my God, you seem like you feel like you just been in heaven, but 2 or 3 days later, the enemy is trying to pull you back into what you came out of, huh? So she said, I got to figure out a way. I got to find out a way to cause that which keeps passing by continually to be able to stay right there. Oh, my God. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Come on, say, neighbor. It's time to move from visitation to habitation. Oh, my God. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Somebody behind you and tell them, neighbor, it's time to move from visitation to habitation. I'm telling you on this morning that God want to do more than just visit you. Huh? He wants to do more than just visit you. He wants to dwell among you. He wants to live amongst you. He wants to dwell where you're at in the name of Jesus. See, you are the house of God. And see, in the natural, you don't visit your own house. You live there. You dwell there. And see, this woman understood that I got to find out a way to cause this anointing, this burden removing, this yoke destroying power to stay right there. So whenever a burden arises, the anointing is right there to take care of. I'm telling you that God wants to dwell even in you in your uneven season, in your uneven place, to cause that uneven place to become straight. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm going to find out on this morning how to cause the anointing to dwell amongst me in the name of Jesus. Ah, God. So you got to be confident that God will dwell with you and cause uneven things in your life to become straight. So she begins to say now, can I take my time? She began to say now, so let us build a chamber for that anointing. Let us make room for that anointing. Let us make room for this move of God. She said, I perceive now that this is a holy man of God. So she says, now let us build this chamber. Let us build this room so that we can house this anointing. So that we can house that which passes by continually. So that we build this chamber so that that anointing can dwell. Oh my God, right there. Build this chamber so that I can have access at all times to this anointing. My God, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I bet you didn't know that you have access at all times to that anointing. All right. To that anointing. So she says, and it shall be that when he comes this way, that which is of God, I like that translation, that is of God, that prophetic anointing will turn in and stay. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, come on, say neighbor, if you make room for God, there's no telling what will happen. If you make room for God, there's no telling what will happen. So Elijah, he wanted to do something for her because of what she had done for them. But she says, now I don't need anything. And you know, that wasn't true. Why? Because see, you can go without something for so long until you start convincing yourself that you don't have to have it, that you don't really need it. You can get used to the absence of a thing that you really want, a thing that you really desire, that you have convinced yourself, that I don't have to have it. So Jehoshaphat, he says now, she don't have a child, and her husband is old. Now watch this, because I want you now to get out of the natural and begin to look at this passage of scripture spiritually. He says now, She don't have a child. Her husband is old. Now, we understand that her husband was old, but we're not dealing with her husband being old. You have to look at what God is trying to reveal to you on this morning. The problem, I see three things the problem with this woman had. The first thing is that the problem that she had was that she was married to something that was old. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. Now, we're not dealing, remember, we're not dealing with the husband. We're not talking about her husband being old. We said, look at this spiritually. The problem that she had was that she was married to something that was old. What do you mean? She was married to a system that didn't have the ability, an old system that didn't have the ability to produce life or to bring forth anything. And see, many of you are just like the Shulamite woman. You're married to a system that has not produced anything in your life. Oh, Jesus, watch this. So she was married to something that was old. Now watch this. The second thing that I saw about this woman, the problem that I saw that the woman had was simply this. She said, Elijah begins to prophesy and begins to give her a prophetic word. He says, now, about this time, next year, you're going to have a child. Somebody say a prophetic word. A prophetic word is a word spoken by God through the mouth of a prophet. So he gives us a prophetic word and Elijah says, about this time, this season, or next year, you're going to have a child. You're going to embrace a child. Now remember, her response was, don't lie to me, man of God. Basically what she was saying, don't lie to me, man of God, because I have literally convinced myself that, I have made up in my mind that I really don't need what I desire. I really don't have to have it because I've gone so long without. Are you with me? So her response is really, don't lie to me, man of God. And so the second thing that I saw was she had been without for so long, she didn't realize that it was yet possible. Some of us have been without for so long, we don't realize that it's still possible. Why? Because whenever you receive a word from God, that prophetic word calls it what looks to be impossible to become possible. For with God, all things are possible. So watch this. So she has the child, and the child represented potential. I like that. She gives birth to the child, and the child represents potential. See, the prophetic word that was spoken out of the mouth of Elijah was an indication that potential was already there. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're going to get this in a minute. And that potential could only come through her. Why? Because potential is already on the inside of you. She just had to give birth to. All it needed is a seed of that word to activate what was already, my God, on the inside of her. Oh, God. So watch this. So she was married to something that was old. She didn't believe that it was possible. And she had just Thirdly, just convinced herself that she didn't need, I didn't have to have what she desired. Now watch this. So she has the child, just like the prophet said. So a potential has arrived. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, potential has arrived. Potential is brought forth. Potential is now birthed out. Now watch this. So the child, he begins to grow. How many of you know that God desires for your potential to grow? He never intended for your potential to stay the same. He desires for my potential to grow. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God desires for my potential to grow. Okay. Get your other neighbor and say, neighbor, that untapped power, God desires for you to grow. Oh, my God. He desires for that to grow. My God. Now watch this. Watch this. So the child begins to grow, and he's now out in the fields with his father during harvest time. Oh, God, I saw something there. He's out in the field during harvest time. Y'all gonna get it. Out of all the times the child could be out in the fields, he's out in the field during harvest time. Ah, lean over to your neighbor and say, psst, 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 psst. Harvest time. Come on, get that other neighbor and say, harvest time. He's out in the field during harvest time. So that showed me that some years have passed. If this child is out there in the field during harvest time, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, she's going somewhere with this. So watch this. The purpose of your potential. The purpose of that untapped power, watch this, watch this, watch this. In case you didn't know, is to help you bring in your harvest. You don't have that, all that on the inside of you for nothing. It's there to help you to bring forth your harvest. Wasn't that what the boy was in the field doing? He was working, helping his father to bring forth. And all that you got on the inside of you, I bet they didn't know that it was there to help them to bring the harvest in. Watch this. When the boy is in the field at harvest time, somebody's in harvest time, he grabs his head and he tells his father, my head, my head. And his father tells them to take him to his mother. Now watch this revelation. Because you got to understand that whenever you come to a place of harvest in your life, whenever you come to a place of harvest in your life, there's going to be an attack on two things. Your head and your mind. Your head, because the enemy wants you to try to reason out why the attack is happening to you.
Come on.
Your mind, because your mind is the battlefield. Can you not see the enemy trying to play mind games on this woman?
Come on.
Here that is. Oh, Elijah comes in town. He passes by continually, and just so happens he comes in this particular time and tell you that I'm going to have a son. And when he gives me that prophetic word, it's the preacher. I'm going to blame the preacher. He gives me that prophetic word, and as soon as he gives me that prophetic word, all hell breaks loose in my life. Your mind, oh my God, is the battlefield. And it comes, the enemy comes to attack you right when you're on the verge of a prophetic breakthrough. Oh, God. Right when you're on the edge of things coming together. Oh, my God. See, when the enemy attacked many of you in these two areas, you know what you do? You talk yourself out of your own miracle.
Come on.
Huh? You talk yourself out of your own breakthrough, not knowing you were about to step into something that potential has set you up for. Oh, God. So the Bible says the child laid up on her knees till noon and died. Now, I saw something else with this woman. Because before we saw, you know, the problems that she had in those three areas. But now I see this woman coming into herself. And now I see her doing something. The Bible says that the child laid upon her knees till noon, and he died. Watch this. But I noticed that the woman didn't take the child back to the place where the husband and her occupied. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, she's going somewhere. Ah, but she takes the child, and she takes the child and lays the child in the place of expansion. Remember, she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by. Let us build for him a chamber, a room, my God, so that when he come by the next time, he'll stay.
Come on.
So she didn't take the child to where her and her husband occupied. But she took that child, and laid him in the place of expansion. The place of enlargement, I like to say. The place of addition, my God. How many of you know that God adds real well, better than we add? So she takes the child and she puts him in the place of expansion, the place of enlargement. Why? Because the woman knew, my God, that I can't go back to this confining place and take my potential back to this confining place. But all this that is on the inside of me, that I had on the inside of me, was big, my God. So I have to take that which is big to the place Because, see, she understood that God had done something big for her. So in order for her to begin to keep the bigness, my God, flowing in her life, she couldn't go back to the confining place, that wallet-sized mentality. She had to take, my God, her potential to the place of enlargement. Because if he done something big before, God, all I have to do is take my potential to the same place. Well, y'all ain't hearing me. Huh? And he'll do it again. She understood that she couldn't allow the enemy to cause her to go back to a box-size mentality. What do you mean? Before, she had just convinced herself that it's okay. I ain't got to have it. It's okay. I see my neighbor's little kids running around. It's all right. I'll play with them. I'll play with Ray Ray. They can come over. She was in a box size mentality. But then she realized what her potential, watch this, what her seed had produced or caused her to bring forth in her life. So she said, I refuse. I know you talking to me, devil, and telling me this ain't going to work, that he's dead, but I refuse to take my potential back to the place where nothing happened. Oh, my God. And see, that's why people are not producing anything and giving birth to anything, because they're allowing and listening to the enemy and they're taking the potential to a confining place that wasn't producing from the beginning. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Tell your neighbor,
Come on,
say neighbor. It's time to live in your enlargement. Tell them it's time to live in your expansion. See, when trouble hits, the thing that you need to be doing more so than ever is standing on that prophetic word that God spoke over your life. Huh? The thing that God spoke concerning you, you need to be standing on it more so than ever. That means that you got to open up your mouth and voice what he said concerning you. You can't just sit there and try to think it. You got to voice it out your mouth. You got to voice it out your mouth. You got to say, I know he's a way maker. I know he's my refuge. I know he's my battle axe. I know he's my shield. I know he's my healer. I know he's my deliverer. I know that he's the one that causes me to triumph. You got to voice that out of your mouth. Huh? Know he's a very present help in the time of trouble. I know that he's my refuge. My God. In the name of Jesus. And so can you not imagine that the enemy is telling the woman that your potential is dead? Sort of kind of like what he's been telling many of you, that is dead. But you got to recognize that there's power in the place of enlargement. That there's power in the place of expansion. My God, you got to know. You got to know just how powerful your seed is. God, now watch this. So the woman in her mind, she's saying, all I know, what I'm about to do right now is I'm about to take my potential to the place of expansion. So she takes her son and she puts him on the bed of the man of God. Why? Because in her mind, my potential, my son is not dead. He's just asleep. See, the enemy's been telling you that some things in your life is dead. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, say, neighbor.
I got seed.
And that seed is telling me that it's just asleep. It's just asleep. Watch this. See, you got to understand that whenever God is about to do something great, he'll cause you to go to sleep. Just like he did with Adam. Put Adam to sleep. Took that rib. My God. And all of a sudden, he brought him Eve. Huh? Oh, my God. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, it's just asleep. Some of you are going to find out this morning that the things that you thought was dead. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, it's just asleep. It's just asleep. It's just asleep. Your ministry, you thought it was dead. My God. Tell your neighbor it's just asleep. That marriage, you thought it was dead. It was dead and over with. It's just asleep. That job situation, you look at it, my God, and you thought it was dead, my God. A dead-end job, but it's just asleep. So she goes, and she goes to the man of God, to find the man of God that has spoken this prophetic word over her life. Why? Because she understood this. And if we could ever understand this, she understood that her restoration was connected to that prophet. So she goes to find this man who have just spoken this word over. Now understand, here's the thing that the enemy tries to get you to not realize. Years have passed. Years have passed, but it's still was a seed.
That's right.
Can I just, it was still a seed that still had potential.
That's right.
Watch this. Watch this. He had spoken that prophetic word to her over some years. But the seed still had the ability, the capacity to produce.
Come on.
What am I saying? Some of you have sowed seeds, and what you done was, because you got a harvest off the seed, you just said, okay, that's it. Baby, the seed, if you can ever get a revelation of how powerful your seed is, my God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, sow your seed. You don't know which one gonna come up, whether this or that, my God. Tell your neighbor there's
power
in the seed. My God, watch this. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Because, see, you got to understand that God knew that this wasn't going to be the end.
That's right.
He foresees stuff down the line. He's the God that not only sees, but he is a God that will react. Watch this. If you stay connected, that same anointing that calls life to come in you, potential, will be the same. Same anointing that calls you to keep it alive. Watch this. So Elijah, he sees her, and he sees her fall off, and he goes and sends Gehazi, and he says, now, go to the old Shulamite woman and ask her, is it well with her husband? Is it well with the boy? Is it well with her? And he asked her, and the woman refers, and she said, it is well.
That's right.
I like that. She's coming into herself now. She said, it is well. She didn't say, oh, it's so much hell. She said, it is well, my God. See, the enemy wants you to see and to focus on all the hell that you're going through. Uh-huh. All the hell that you're going through because you sowed a seed. But the woman understood that I got to maintain my focus, my God. And my focus is my seed. And so when you focus on your seed, you don't see the hell. All you see that it's being well. In the name of Jesus. Watch this. Watch this. So, but she goes to Elijah. She was determined to go to Elijah with the situation because, see, you prophesied this word. You gave me this prophetic word concerning my life. So she goes to Elijah with the situation. And Elijah sends Gehazi. Gehazi lays the staff on the child, and nothing happens. Watch this. Can I tell you that you got to stop letting certain folks mess with your stuff?
Come on.
No, I ain't liking that. And sometimes, folks that you need to stop letting messing your stuff is church folk.
Come on
now. Oh, it's quiet now. Sometimes it's some church folks that you need to keep out your space. Yeah. Is my mic on, Wayne? What are you saying? Just because he hung out with the prophet didn't mean that he had on him what the prophet had on him.
That's right.
Just because you hang out with the prophet don't mean that you can do what the prophet do. Yeah. So the Shulamite woman, she gets Elijah now to come. So here comes that prophetic anointing. It comes into the place of enlargement. He comes to the place of expansion. He comes to the place of addition. And so Elijah sees the child, and he shuts the door. Why? Remember, I told you, you can't look at this in the natural. You got to look at this whole scripture text spiritually. He shuts the door. Why? He doesn't just shut it to keep people out, but he shuts it to keep limitations out. Oh, my God. Because sometimes you can let folks in, and you're not just letting people in, but you're letting their limitation.
Come on.
Oh, Jesus, whatever I do. I like that. Huh? People will try to limit you.
Yes.
Oh, you ain't okay. See, I told you, Linda, when you sold that seed, you know, you just didn't listen to me. I told you. You didn't listen. And now look, the boy's dead. Hmm? See what I'm saying? You should listen to me. You see what I'm saying? People will bring their limitations into your space to cause that which is just asleep not to get up.
Come on.
So I said, so he shuts the door on the limitation. So Elijah, he lays upon the child, mouth upon mouth, eyes upon eyes, hands upon hand. Why did he do it? You know why? Because that speaks of covering. Oh, y'all gonna get that. The child was there. He lays upon him. It signifies a covering. He was covering her seed. The reason why many people don't see their potential get up is because their potential or their seed isn't covered.
Come on.
My God. So here's Elijah with that prophetic anointing. And he gets up on top of that potential and he covers it. And that anointing began to cause life to come into that child. The Bible said that the child waxed warm. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, things are heating up now. If you just stay focused, my God, if you just stay focused, if you just understand the power of your seed, things will start heating up. If you understand, my God, that I got seed in the ground and this thing must change, my God, things will start heating up. Things will start changing. I can tell you from experience that a seed will change the course of your whole life. My God, if you just stay focused. Tell your neighbor. Come on, say, neighbor. I got seed in the ground, and I believe on this morning. Come on, I believe on this morning that things are about to heat up. Some stuff is about to heat up. My God. You have sown seeds years and years down the line, but when you get this revelation on this morning, my God, stuff is about to heat up, my God. Things that have been withheld from you is about to be released, my God, when you get a revelation of the power of the seed that you sown. Tell your neighbor, high five them, pop them in the back of the head, and tell them that things are about, my God, to heat up. Tell them my seed is hot. My God. My seed is hot. It's hot. Hallelujah. So watch this. So Elijah gets up and he walks around in the place of expansion. The place of enlargement. He gets up and he walks around in the place of expansion, the place of enlargement. Why? Because he was expecting, my God, that seed to get up. He was expecting something to happen, because you can't sow a seed like that and things not move. You can't sow a seed like that and things not change, my God. So he walks around in the place of expansion. He walks around in the place of enlargement. And then he lays back on the child, and the boy sneezes 7 times. 7 denotes completion. He said, this thing is complete now, my God. And he calls the Shunammite woman. and tell her to come pick up your son. My God, watch this. I saw something. He tells her to come pick up her son. She was actually coming picking up seed. Actually coming picking up seed. What do you mean? Because she's going to be able to use that seed again. Y'all ain't getting it. See, many of you had the mentality that when you sowed a seed, that was over with. My God. But my God, if you do it right, you can reap a harvest off that seed. My God, again. So watch this. So here we go. So that's not the end of the story. So now we over 2 Kings 8 chapter. Here is God. Elijah gives her another prophetic word. And he says now in 2 Kings 8 chapter, the Lord has called for a famine in the land. And what you need to do is that you need to find some place to go for 7 years. Oh my. Go for 7 years. Because when you talk about famine speaks of cycles. It speaks of systems. It speaks of completion. It speaks of seasons. And it speaks of periods of time. So he says, now there's going to be a famine. The Lord has called for a famine in this land. And what you need to do is that you need to go find a place to go. And you need to stay there for 7 years. Now the problem with this that I saw was this. Elijah had just restored this boy back to life. And now he talks about a famine. But remember now, he had told the people in Samaria that about this time tomorrow, the famine's going to be over for y'all. But he tells the Shulamite woman, now look, you need to go, because it's going to be a famine in Samaria. You need to go and find you some place to go, because there's going to be a famine for 7 years. Watch this. And when he tells her this word, he says, go find your place for 7 years. I saw something. Because it's possible for one person to be in a time of harvest and another person to be in the midst of a famine. Watch this. That showed me something also. That means that you can't get distracted by someone else's season, by someone else's assignment. You got to just do what God told you to do. You can't get distracted by somebody else's word. He told them, now look, by tomorrow, this is going to be over for y'all. But for you, you need to go find a place. Because the Lord has called for a famine, and it's going to be for 7 years. So you can't get distracted by someone else's word. You just got to be obedient and do what God have told you to do. Because remember, he sees ahead. Watch this. What do you mean you can't get distracted? You might get laid off your job. But somebody on the same, working in the same company might get a promotion. You can't get distracted because of their season.
Come on.
You just got to remember, I got seed in the ground. Hear what I'm saying? It may be a hard season for you. It might be an easy one for them. But remember, I got seed in the ground. And I know he's able to produce. Watch this. But he gives her a word. 7 years of famine. Find another place to go. So that was her word. So now she walks away from her house. She walks away from her land, her and her son. And she gets up and she goes to the land of the Philistines, the Bible says. So now in that text, there's a famine. For 7 years, she dwelt with the Philistine. And some of us have been in the midst of a famine for a long time. Things have been taken. We've lost something. But when you get an understanding that a famine is just an indication that a cycle is about to come to an end. You remember, famine speaks of completion, cycle, season, periods of time. You might be in the midst of a famine right now, but the cycle is about to come to an end. So she dwelt there for 7 years in the land of the Philistine. And here is Jehoshaphat. He's up and he's talking to the king. And the king began to say, now tell me some of them great things that Elisha had done. So Jehoshaphat is up and he's telling them about what Elisha had done. And as he's telling him about how he restored the boy, the Shunammite woman boy, back to life, in walks the Shunammite woman. Jehoshaphat said, man, and Elijah, man, he laid upon the Shunammite woman's son. He was just telling him, man. He said, I kid you not. The boy sneezed 7 times and came back to life. I kid you not, king. And as he's telling it, in walks the woman and her son. Can I show you 4 things that your seed will do? Watch this, 2 Kings, the 8th chapter. So the woman is walking in, and she's come walking in, and she's coming to ask the king back for her land and for her house. Watch this. Watch this. But remember, the woman had seed in the ground. And I want to show you just how powerful your seed is, because I'm going to show you what her seed done for her. Watch this. The Bible says, in verse number 1, then spake Elijah unto the woman whose son had restored to life, saying, arise and go thou and thy household and sojourn there wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord had called for a famine, and it shall also come upon thee, upon the land, 7 years. You know what? Your seed will give you, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord, it will give you divine guidance. He said, there's coming a famine up on the land. It's going to be up on the land for 7 years. He said, so what I'm going to tell you to do is that you need to go and find you another place to go for 7 years. Divine guidance. Huh? Even in the midst of a famine, God will lead and guide you. Watch this. Watch this. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years end. Remember, famine, it signifies an end of a cycle. Watch this. At the end of the 7 years, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. At the end of the 7 years, the end of the cycle of that famine, she goes and to cry out to the king for her land. Remember, Jehoshaphat was up talking about the woman, and she walked in. Yep. The second thing that your seed does for you, it calls you to operate in divine timing. What better timing for the woman to walk in and ask for her land back when Jehoshaphat was right up there telling the king about, my God, what Elijah had done for her. Divine timing. You got to be able to move in the timing of God. Watch this. And the king talked with Jehoshaphat and the servants of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elijah had done. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Jehoshaphat said, my Lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is the son whom Elijah restored back to life. Now watch verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed
unto her certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers. The third thing it does is divine restoration. Your seed will cause divine restoration to come to you. But not only that now, watch this. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed unto her certain officers, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land even until now. The fourth thing, divine favor. Favor. Now, who would give somebody all that the land had produced for 7 years back to her, and then give the land back to her, and then her house? Somebody shout out favor.
Favor.
That's what your seed does. When we get a revelation how powerful our seed is, my God, the enemy won't be able to handle us.
That's right.
We truly will be the people whom the Lord hath blessed. Everybody stand. Come on, lift those hands up.